Family values are more than slogans. The Rick Smith Show.
Honest with you, I'm hoping that whatever the Republican scheme for health care is, it comes with a mental health plan. Honestly, I'm hoping there's some mental health treatment in there because, you know, I look at yesterday and you go, our president seems to need some treatment. Because you may remember when the House passed their repeal and replace plan, when they brought us the Trump Care. He said it was a great plan. It was very, very well, incredibly well crafted. It was the cats. It was great. It was amazing, tremendous, all of that stuff. Well, yesterday he comes out and says that it's mean and it needs to be more generous. And I'm not quite sure what that means, but it's kind of weird. He said, I really appreciate what you're doing, coming out with a bill that's going to be a phenomenal bill for the people of our country. A generous, kind, with heart. That's what I'm saying, and that's we may be needing to add additional money to it. Really? I mean, that's everybody in Washington's got to be going, what are you talking about? And here to give us his thoughts, I've asked Frank Clemente to come talk with us. He is the Executive Director of Americans for Tax Fairness. Frank, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Good to talk to you again.
So we go from it's tremendous, it's great, it's beautiful, it's well crafted, it's all of those smiling, back slapping things to now mean, really?
Well, the president lives in an alternative reality. There's no question about that. You know, he's very good at putting a nice bow on things and saying how wonderful and it's going to be the best and it's massive. Whereas behind the scenes, which is what's happening in the Senate, you've got 13 men locked in a room crafting a health care bill that is based largely on the bill that passed the House, which we call Trump Care, because the president had signed off on that. You remember after they got it passed in the House, they had that big celebration in the Rose Garden.
Which was obscene, by the way.
It was a sad scene for sure. And anyway, that's what's going on. This is a terrible bill that they're working on. It's so terrible that they don't even want to have any hearings on it. They are simply going to get a score on the bill from the Congressional Budget Office that will tell us how many people will not be insured as a result of it. That will tell us how much premiums will go up for senior citizens, and they will go up very high. And they will rush that bill to the floor without any really seeing public light of day and vote on it, and we'll see where the chips fall.
Yeah, so help me here, because, you know, I remember the last 7 years of the Democrats rammed it down our throats, Frank. They rammed that Obamacare down our throats. We didn't have any say. There were no amendments, no hearings. It was nothing. Again, you know, there were 11 months of hearings and testimony and amendments and all of that. But now they're doing what they claim the Affordable Care Act and the Democrats did.
Oh, complete night and day difference. You will remember how long the bill was held up in the Senate because they were working so long that the Democrats were in charge. And they were working so long to get Republican support, and they went through countless negotiating sessions between both sides and countless hearings and then markups. And, you know, it was paraded out in front of the public for a very long time. This is a complete opposite of that process. Nobody, even Republican senators who are going to be voting on this, perhaps, you know, with the next week or two, they say to the media, I don't know what's happening in this bill. It's a very small number of people that are aware of what's going on.
Yeah, so we've got, I think you said, what, 13 white guys in a room?
It is. It's 13. probably their average age is 70. Probably most of them are millionaires. Folks in the Senate tend to be fairly wealthy.
Right.
So they're not, you know, let's face it, it's not representing the people who this legislation is designed to help. I mean, let's go back to where we were. The reason this legislation passed or was enacted was because there were, you know, 50 million people who did not have health insurance. Now, some of them were low-income people, but many of them were people with pre-existing conditions. They may have been certainly middle income, maybe even higher income, but they still couldn't afford their health insurance because they were denied health insurance by private insurance companies.
Yep.
That's where we were, and that's who this bill should be designed for, but that's not who is crafting it. The people who are crafting it are largely folks who are looking out for tax breaks for the rich and corporations. Most of your listeners probably are not aware of it, but the way people got so much health care under Obamacare, under the Affordable Care Act, was that drug companies were asked to pay a bit more in taxes, $25 billion. Insurance companies were asked to pay quite a bit more, $145 billion. And then the top 2% were also asked to pay a bit more in Medicare taxes. And that the revenue from all that is what enabled us to be able to expand Medicaid so that people could get coverage through Medicaid and to provide subsidies so that people could afford to buy, you know, expensive health insurance plans. And so when you take those revenues away, which is what's going to happen in this bill, the first order of business in passing this Republican healthcare bill is to get rid of the tax increases that affect just big profitable healthcare corporations and just the richest Americans. They want to wipe those things out, and once you wipe those things out, you can't afford to provide healthcare for very many people.
Yeah, and again, the mastery, and you, as you pointed out, is that it was actually paid for. So, you know, you have a Republican Party who cries and whines and complains that we're not paying for anything. This was actually paid for, and it was paid for in a very thought-out way to make sure that those who were doing really well by the healthcare system were kicking a little bit back to help those who weren't. It seemed rational. It seemed sane. But, you know, to me, I go, you know, instead of having this whole system, we should have just opened up a public option, should have just had Medicare for all, something along that line, so that this wouldn't have been this kind of a divisive, divide and conquer kind of setup.
Yeah, well, that is certainly the ideal, and some folks on the right say, well, if this collapses and then what replaces it is something really not very well run that the Republicans put in place, then there'll be even more incentive to create a Medicare for all type single payer system. We know the challenges. I mean, Obamacare was pretty finely designed to fit within the existing health insurance system. Because the president didn't feel like he could get the votes to do a real overhaul of how we insure people in this country. He didn't move to the public option, although he advocated for it, couldn't get the votes for it. He didn't move to a Medicare for all type single payer system. He just didn't think it was doable right at that point in time. So this really was working within the system. It had been experimented with and tried and successfully tried in Massachusetts. And it was an original Republican proposal. And now this Republican Party has moved so far to the right that this thing, they thumbed their nose at what was originally their plan.
Yeah, I mean, again, I wouldn't even say they moved to the right. They've just moved to the radical fringe.
Yeah.
Which is scary to me because, you know, look, you know, and when this, right when it passed, you know, my first thought was, you know, the original CBO score, I think, said something like 29 to 55,000 people were going to die because of not having health insurance. And, you know, I immediately thought, you know, what happened if we had a terrorist attack that killed 29,000 people?
Right.
You know, what would we do? How much resource would we spend to avenge the deaths? Yet the Republican Party, under the guise of, well, we need to do this to make it better, to save it, you know, it seems to be okay.
Well, you have to understand, it is a party that just refuses to accept the fact that if you're going to have a government that protects people, that serves people, that provides opportunity to people, you have to raise money. That means you have to raise taxes, and you have to raise taxes on those who can afford to pay, and that's the wealthy, and that's you know, very profitable corporations, but they will not even abide that common sense approach to things. And if you have a party that is not willing to do that, it's sort of the end of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's really scary stuff. Now, there were some talks that maybe it wasn't going to get out of the Senate. We're now hearing some rumors that the deal is going to go forward because the moderates have come around, even though some of the proposals that they've put in for the moderates is ticking off the radicals. Any if you're a betting man, any thoughts on if this gets out and gets to the president's desk?
Well, I'm very nervous that they are going to be able to cobble together enough senators. They need 50 plus Mike Pence, the vice president, who can vote. There's 52 Republican senators, so they only need 50 of them plus Pence. I am very nervous that they're going to get it. The way they are designing this, Medicaid is the most important part of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Right.
That provided the most health coverage for people. 14 million people will lose their Medicaid coverage if Obamacare is repealed. The way they're designing the Medicaid cuts is that they will not fully take effect until 7 years from now. Why did they come up with the idea of 7 years? Well, because that's every senator runs at least one time for re-election within 6 years.
Right.
And so they're, by putting it 7 years out, it means each senator who's in there now will have run at least one time for re-election, gotten in office before the full disaster of this repeal takes effect.
Now, let me ask you the last line of questioning, though, because I have already said that they don't need to actually pass anything. I think they've done enough already to destroy the Affordable Care Act. You see stories coming out of places like Ohio where insurers are pulling out. A lot of it's just the uncertainty of will there be a system, and no insurer wants to be the last one in an area holding the bag. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, the market actually had stabilized or was about to stabilize because, you know, after 5 years, the insurance companies had finally figured out who their customers were, what the risk was, what their health risk was, and so they figured out how to price their products. What is happening now, interestingly, in some of these states where insurance companies are coming in and saying we need to have price increases, rate increases in order to survive, they're providing two estimates to the authorities. One is, this is how much it will cost if we get the subsidies, the cost-sharing subsidies that the federal government has been providing in the past.
Right.
And those cost-sharing subsidies only amounts to about $7 billion a year spread out to all these insurers, but that is what helps reduce the out-of-pocket costs that the people who get insured with those companies would have to pay. So their deductible might be lower, their cost-sharing requirements could be lower if they get these federal subsidies. And that's what's being held up. In fact, the Republicans sued Obama to block those subsidies from going forward the last year he was in office, and Trump still hasn't decided what he's going to do with those subsidies. But all these insurers are saying to you, you have to give us those subsidies, and that's what will make the plans affordable for people. So rather than asking for a 25% rate increase next year, all we'll have to do is ask for a 9% rate increase. Now, 9% is still high, but it's a heck of a lot lower than 25%. And the administration is refusing to make a decision on that. The House leadership, Republican leadership, is ambivalent about it because they're sort of stuck with, well, if we don't give these subsidies, yeah, Obamacare will collapse because nobody's going to want to pay a 25% rate increase. And so they're playing chicken with people's health care and with people's lives.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, they've been talking death spiral, death spiral, death spiral, and then they've done everything they can do to make sure that they've created a death spiral. And the community rating money is a huge part of that, and with the pre-existing conditions and essential benefits. And it's just, all of this is screwed up, and all of this is going to be horrible. People are going to die. But you know what? At least we're going to give more to the very wealthy and to big corporations.
That's right.
Some solace.
Very, very difficult time. Very difficult to watch. What's going to stop this is people across the country hitting the phones, going to town hall meetings, getting in the face of their members of Congress and telling them, no, you are not doing this. This is not in our best interest. This is not in the interest of the American people. You are doing this for wealthy corporate and rich donors, not for the rest of us, and it's got to stop.
Yep, I'm with you. And if you want to sign on to a petition, you can tell the Senate, don't take away our health care. We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can participate. I've already thrown in my comments, given my 2 cents to our senators. You can do the same. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Frank Clemente's name. Take it right there. Also, if you want to check out some more information about their latest report, which I highly suggest reading, Trump Care is a Disaster for Working Families, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com if I can get to that as well. Frank, always great talking with you. I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Take care. Cheers.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Where family values are more than slogans. The Rick Smith Show.